like the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to be. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Well, that rabbit hole to me is Drew Locke. This is Tim. This is New York Giants Straight Talk, powered by Online Big Blue LLC. Want to talk about this weird affinity for Drew Locke and how there is this segment of not only the fan base, but potentially in some parts of the media that think Drew Locke's the answer for the New York Giants. I personally don't think Drew Locke's even the question. You're talking about a guy that's been in the league since 19. You're talking about a guy that has not shown that he has, outside of moments, the capability of leading a franchise for a 17-game schedule. You're talking about a guy that you gave him $5 million, 4.97 is guaranteed, with another $3 million incentives to compete against Daniel Jones. But is it really a competition? It's not like you brought in Gardner Minshew. It's not like you brought in Jacoby Brissett. You brought in Drew Locke. And I go to the Pat McAfee show because this just fucking cracked me up.
Back is because Drew Locke came in there and said, call that bitch my bodyguard.
Yeah, that's my bodyguard.
Talk about some moxie. Guy made some plays for Seattle.
I love how he's got moxie. He dances on the field, and that's moxie. Jonathan Moxon is sitting there vomiting in Billy Bob's helmet.
Handled the trade from Denver to Seattle, being a backup, having to kind of...
He's a backup because he was a backup, because he could not beat out Teddy Bridgewater. And they knew in Denver that he was not the answer.
About redefining who he is as a person in the NFL. Now he's at the New York Football Giants. Why not Drew Locke?
All right, I'm going to give you a lot of reasons in a minute. I'm going to give you a lot of reasons.
Jeremiah saying there's a chance that that's reality.
And the last time we saw him, like, Drew Locke was spinning the rock. We were talking about the Eagles game earlier. That was one of the most electric scenes, I feel like, of the
against a deflated, bad Eagles team who was spiraling out of control.
Last year, because the Seattle Seahawks weren't really playing for anything. The Eagles were, you know, they were in a slump, but it was still the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's throwing dimes to beat them in prime time. Like, I mean, Daniel Jones, I don't know if he's been looking over his shoulder with Drew Locke in the building, but now he might have
to. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
if Daniel Jones is looking over his shoulder because Drew Locke is in the building, we are totally fucked.
Shoot, brother.
Hey, why not? And yeah. You know, he was out there with Geno. He could have learned so much from Geno from his story. Remember, had a great start with the Jets, was supposed to start with the Jets. Altercation happens. Then all of a sudden, there's a couple like character assassination stories that come.
Because Geno Smith wasn't a good guy back then. And he didn't have a great start in the Jets. He had an okay start. See, it's this revisionistic history that really gets me about about the media in general.
Him, he goes to San Diego, backs up Phil Rivers, goes to Seattle, back then he gets a job
No. When he went to Seattle, he beat out Drew Locke twice. Geno Smith, that is.
Takes it.
Yeah, gets a deal.
It's like, why not Drew Locke? Same thing. Denver, supposed to be guy. Then he gets traded out of there, back up, learn some stuff, as at another home. And it's like, why not?
Because there's a lot of reasons, because it's called talent in the NFL. If you are a talented quarterback, if you have this moxie, you will sit there and I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Drew Locke is not the cream of the crop. He is that shit on the bottom of the milk that happens when the milk goes bad. And for people to sit there and think that Drew Locke is going to be the answer for the New York Football Giants, that Drew Locke is going to beat out Daniel Jones for this job. Listen, if Drew Locke beats out Daniel Jones, this is a guy... Since 19, he's got 5,283 passing yards, only completed 59% of his passes, 28 touchdowns, and 23 interceptions. If this is a guy, his big season was in 2020 in Denver, and he got benched. If this is a guy that you think is going to come in here and revolutionize the position for the quarterback room or push Daniel Jones into making him a better quarterback, we got a lot of problems, guys. We got lots of problems because of the fact that he is not a full-time NFL starting caliber cornerback. He's 27 years old. Think about that. He's been 27 years old. He's been bouncing around a little bit. He has sporadic moments. People always point to that big drive he had against the Giants. Well, that big drive against the Giants was actually more the ineptitude of the Giants defense than Drew Locke. I was at that game. Sitting there with James Williams. Drew Locke, and I love, he's a fighter. Well, how do you know Drew Locke's a fighter? If he was such a fighter, how could he not beat out Geno Smith twice and couldn't beat out Teddy Bridgewater? I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just asking these questions. You know, he is a second round pick from 2019. Think about that for a minute, guys. And it's not like he had this outside of his 2017 season in college where he had 44 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, but his team went 7-6. It's not like he's had this stellar career going back to college. People will point out the thumb injury in the preseason back in 19. People are going to point out all these things. How he left the how in 2020, he had the shoulder injury against the Steelers. Then he had another injury against the New England Patriots that same 2020 season. Had his worst passing performance, I believe, against the Raiders in a 37-12 loss that same year. You know, he then tried to go up against the Teddy Bridgewater in 2021. That didn't work. He finally came into Bridgewater after Bridgewater had the concussion back in week 5, but he also completed 12 for 21, 57% of his passes. Again, he didn't come back in until week 16 after week 15 after Bridgewater got hurt, and same thing in 16. Then he goes traded over to Seattle. He goes over to Seattle in the Russell Wilson trade. Can't even beat out Geno Smith twice. Like I said, people talk about that 75-yard drive that resulted in a touchdown. Yeah, they thought so highly of him that Geno Smith, who was hurt, and you could tell he was hurt, had to come back in the game. And again, it wasn't until week 14 last year when Smith got hurt that he came in against the 49ers. People say, well, it was 22 for 31 for 269, two touchdowns and two interceptions in a 28-16 loss. But then people are going to talk about the Philadelphia game. We got to talk about that Philadelphia game, that big game in Philly. Locke finished the season with three touchdowns and three interceptions last year. Does anyone not notice that? Does anyone not remember that besides me? And they want to talk about how he was dropping dimes in Philadelphia. It was a 2017 win. He completed 22 of 33 for 208 and a touchdown. What numbers do that sound like? That sounds like the mediocrity of Daniel Jones. I remember that game. It was more of Philadelphia giving the game away than Seattle winning. If you think that Drew Locke is going to come in here and be that driving force to push Daniel Jones, then I feel bad for Daniel Jones. Because you're getting paid $160 million. Yes, only 98 if it's guaranteed. But you're getting paid $160 million to have to compete against Drew Locke. You've had two neck injuries and an ACL in 3 years, and you have to compete against Drew Locke. And you have to look at the fan base and look at the segment of the media and be like, well, the Giants didn't draft a quarterback in this quarterback late in draft because they got Drew Locke. I don't get it. I am still literally trying to figure this out. Because I've said it once, I've said it a million times.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
You are relying on Drew Locke. You are relying on the likes of Drew Locke and Danny DeVito if Daniel Jones can't start. I'm not a big fan of Daniel Jones. Everyone knows that. And it's nothing personal. But the dude's been in the league since 2019, and we're still waiting in year 6 to know what he is. And by year 6, normally in this league, not normally, in year 3, normally you're a finished product. We're in year 6. And right now, we have the Daniel Jones panty boys coming back out in force because we got, won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be
my neighbor? Hello, neighbor.
Yeah, Mr. Neighbors. So now they're coming back out of the woodwork. But it's and I love it because someone even said it best so succinctly on Twitter. The moment he overthrows Drew Locke, the moment that Daniel Jones overthrows Malik Nabers, there's going to be a riot. And I was just more surprised the fact that they think that Daniel Jones was going to overthrow. It's going to be more like he's going to underthrow. But you can't sit there and put your eggs all in the Drew Locke basket, guys. I always think of a. I tried to go back into the annals of NFL history and try to think of a quarterback, or even quarterbacks who had such a pedestrian career, and really did nothing, but then came on to be something special. The only thing I can think of, the only person I can think of really is Tommy Maddox. Tommy Maddox, of course, was taken with the 25th pick overall out of UCLA back in 1992, went to the Denver Broncos, flamed out in Denver. It was horrid in Denver. He bounced over to the Rams. He was with the Giants for 2 years. Then he was with the Falcons. He was with the New Jersey Red Dogs of the Arena Football League. It wasn't until he went into the XFL and became, I think he was the league MVP. And he threw two touchdowns in the $1 million game that he got that contract to back up Cordell Stewart back in 2021. He replaced Cordell back, I think it was 2002 we replaced him. And he held on to the starting job for a while. Now, this is a guy at one point in time in the first 6 years in the league, he was 0-4. And he had he had 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And then in 2002, he goes 7-3, throws for 2,800 yards, 20 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. And the next year, they're like, oh, we found something to Tommy Maddox. Yeah, he goes 6-10, 3,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Then he falls off the planet again. That's Tommy Maddox is your Drew Locke. People need to remember Tommy Maddox from his Giant days. That was in 95. He was 6-23 for 49 yards and 3 interceptions and no touchdowns. But we were going to rely on the likes of the great Tommy Maddox to come in and be that backup quarterback. Now, of course, that was a Giant. You know what's funny? That was a bad Giant team. That was a 5-11 Giant team. Dave Brown was your starter. Dave Brown threw for 2,800 yards, completed 55% of his passes, and I think something, I can't remember exactly, I think it was 11 touchdowns and like 10 interceptions. You have to hope to God. You have to pray to God. You have to pray to whoever you pray to that Daniel Jones figures something out. He doesn't end up, it's Daniel Jones at the 5. It's Daniel Jones at the...
Never mind.
You have to hope he figures it out, Daniel Jones, or it's just going to be a horrid season. It's just going to be a bad season. It's just going to be a terrible season. Because if you're waiting on the likes of Drew Locke to come in here and...
Are you a big man? Huh? I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you say, I put on my big boy pants. Look, I'm wearing a belt. I got big boy pants on.
If you're waiting for Drew Locke to have his big boy pants on and beat out Daniel Jones, we got lots and lots and lots of problems. And also, this is already the silly season because of the fact that every undrafted free agent the Giants sign is the greatest undrafted free agent, and we're linked to every single player that's still out in free agency, even though we don't have any cap space. This is why Giant YouTube, Giant Twitter, and Giant everything else makes me want to vomit. Because if you can't come up with something, you need to get the likes, the clicks, the bleeps, and the bloops. You know what? Why don't you just be honest about things? Oh, because you know what? That doesn't get you views. That doesn't get you the love and admiration that you so desire. As in the immortal words of Michael Ray Richardson, back in that 80s playoff, the 80s Knicks seasons, as it was going down the drains, the ship be sinking, especially if we are going to be sitting there and hoping that Drew Locke is the answer. I'm actually rooting for Daniel Jones. And that's not a joke. I am literally rooting for Daniel Jones. Because at the end of the day, if we're going to be relying on Drew Locke, how much trouble are we truly in? Think about that. How much trouble are you in if you are going to rely on Drew Locke?
My professional opinion that now is the time to panic.
Uh-oh. All right, everyone. You know, we're going to have a big stream on Sunday. We got a couple guests coming on as well. And as always, let's go, Knicks. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to ring that bell because you want to know why. That'd be awesome.